This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So dear brothers, sisters, we'll continue inshallah with our program tonight, which is Fiqh of Business Transactions. Fiqh al-Buyur, Fiqh al-Mu'amalat al-Maliyah. We think that everyone inshallah in this society needs, you know, to know about this fiqh, about this chapter. Everyone in this society buys, actually everywhere, not only in this society, everyone needs to buy something or sell something. It's part of our life. Before I continue with what we've been talking about last program, last Friday, which is business ethics, I would like to say something about, you know, when there is a conflict, well, it seems a conflict between the two texts, between two hadith. Mathalan, there is a brother who asked about why Imam Malik would go with the opinion of Imam of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu regarding the tas'ir, control price, where Rasulullah said clearly that Allah huwa al-musa'ir, he refused to set a limit, to set a limit for the prices in the market. So this is an example where we try to find excuses for the imams, and the ulama have talked about these excuses. Like Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he wrote a book, it's called رَفْعُ الْمَلَامْ عَنِ الْأَئِمَّ الْأَعْلَامِ, removing or the blame on the renowned scholars or imams. This is the title of his book. So when an imam مثلاً does not work or does not issue a decree based on a certain hadith that was said by Rasulullah ﷺ, and the hadith is sahih, there are some cases here. Either the hadith did not reach him, he did not know about the hadith. And there are people who are better than those imams, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, mujtahideen, fuqaha among the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, he missed some knowledge. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came to his house or to his office and he knocked the door. He asked for permission for three times and he was not allowed, so he left. And then Umar radiallahu anhu asked for Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and they told him he left. And he called him. And he said, why did you leave? He said that Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you ask permission for three times and you're not given permission, then you have to leave. This is the etiquette of visiting other people. Part of the etiquette. So he said, you have to bring me a witness for this hadith. I didn't know about this hadith. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So Abu Musa, he went talking to the Sahaba and he found one Ansari who knew about this hadith. He came and he told Abu Umar ibn Khattab that he heard this hadith from Rasulullah ﷺ. فقال عمر كيف فاتتني هذه المسألة شغلني الصفق في الأسواق. He said, how come this مسألة, this small مسألة has, you know, I missed this small مسألة شغلني الصفق في الأسواق. I was busy with doing business in the market. يعني he used to go one day to meet Rasulullah ﷺ, stay with him, spend time with him, listen to him. And the other day he would send his neighbor, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the other day he would go to the market and do his business activities. So if one of the imams misses some knowledge, there are people who are better than them, Sahaba, they missed some knowledge. So this is the first case. The second case, he might get this hadith, he might receive this hadith, but the hadith in his opinion is da'if. So it's not sahih. The hadith is authentic, is sahih in the opinion of other scholars. In his own opinion, is da'if, so he does not use it. He does not deduct or derive any sharia ruling from it, or he might use another dalil, an ayah from the Qur'an, or another hadith. Or he might get two conflicting hadiths, or they seem conflicting, they have two different rulings that are against each other, and then he would try to make tarjih, try to weigh out and look at this hadith, come up with a conclusion, and then he would find the same, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, agreed upon, And this hadith is not in Bukhari Muslim, so I would use this hadith and leave the other one. These are some cases where the ulama, and they have their own ways and methods to come up with a verdict, with a sharia ruling, with a conclusion at the end. طيب, we continue inshallah tonight with what we talked about, business ethics in Islam. We were talking about trustworthiness in business transaction. And trustworthiness is a trait of deserving trust and confidence. So it is an ethical value that is considered a virtue. A trustworthy person is someone in whom you place your trust and rest assured that your trust will not be betrayed. Whether you buy from him pizza, or you buy a car, you buy a house, or you buy equipment, it doesn't matter. When you deal with him, you feel safe and you have peace of mind. This is the trustworthy person. And it is one of the most important principles in our business activities. It requires sincerity of work and purity of intention. And the trustworthy, the Muslim trader who owns this quality will never barter his akhirah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for worldly gains, for a few dollars. He will never do that. Because he knows that he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and he will be taken to account for his deeds. And these dollars will not benefit him on the Day of Judgment. So he will never, use deception or fraud, or he will never resort to dubious or doubtful matters in selling and promoting his merchandise. The third quality is the ulama talked about it. يسمونها السماحة في البيع والشراء. السماحة في البيع, gentleness and lenity in business transaction. Lenity is the state or the quality of being lenient when you buy and sell. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has invoked Allah's mercy upon anyone who is lenient in his buying and selling. يقول المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله عبدا سمحا إذا باع سمحا إذا اشترى سمحا إذا اقتضى. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is making dua to this person. May Allah have mercy. May Allah's mercy be on him who is lenient when he buys. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has made dua to this person. رحم الله عبدا سمحا إذا باع سمحا إذا اشترى سمحا إذا اقتضى. May Allah's mercy be on him who is lenient when buying, selling, or in demanding back, اقتضى, demanding back his money or his debt. So the creditor should be generous, should be easy when he asks for his money back, when he asks for his debt. And the debtor should pay back the money, the creditor his money, with due thanks and politeness and on time. Abu Rafi' reported from Rasulullah ﷺ hadith. He said that Rasulullah ﷺ took a young camel on a loan. Oh, he took from someone a young camel, bikr. استسلف بكرا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما جاءته إبل الصدقة. He said when he received camels in charity, he told Abu Rafi' to pay this man, the creditor, his young camel. He give him a young she camel. This is what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said. So Abu Rafi' pointed out that they have no young camels. So Rasulullah, except a 4-year-old camel, and it is of a very good quality. رُبَى خِيَارًا رُبَاعِيًا. قَلْ لَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَمْ أَجِدْ إِلَّا رُبَاعًا خِيَارِيًا. نَاقَ عُمْرُهَا 4 سَنَوَاتٍ وَمِنْ أَحْسَنِ النُّوقِ. يعني it's one of the best quality. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, give him the best one. For amongst you, or the best amongst you, is the one who pays or repays the rights of others handsomely. He said, فَإِنَّ خِيَارَكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ قَضَاءً. اقضه فإن خياركم. هذه يحتاجها كل مسلم. يأخذ دين من أخيه المسلم. يأخذ دين من أخيه المسلم. فإن خياركم, خياركم يعني خيار المسلمين. The best among Muslims are the ones who pay or repays the other the rights of others handsomely. Pay him, اقضيه فإن خياركم أحسنكم قضاء. And this is not riba. You might think that this is riba. Why is not riba? Yalla, we need to know some fiqh, inshallah.
It's not riba because you didn't agree to pay him back more?
Yeah, it's not a stipulation. It's not a condition. He gave you 1,000 as a loan, you gave him 1,000 back, and one kilo of dates, or some flowers, or something extra. This is not riba. هذا يسمى حسن القضاء. حسن القضاء. You know, because he didn't ask for it. There was no agreement. Yeah. That's fine. Because he didn't ask for it, he didn't agree about it. If you agreed about it, then it is riba. It is interest. There is no doubt about it. But if it is your money, you want to give him something extra, that should be fine. And the hadith, this hadith of Abu Rafi' in Sahih Muslim is clear about it. فَإِنَّ خِيَارَكُمْ أَحْسَنُكُمْ قَضَاءً. طيب, the third quality that the ulama have talked about it is honoring business obligations. Or الْوَفَاءُ بِالْعُقُودِ. And this is something that many Muslims need to pay attention to. Islam attaches great importance to the fulfillment of contract and promises. And this moral value has been emphasized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. O you who have believed, fulfill your obligations or your promises. وَرَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جَعَلَ عدم الوفاء بالعقود من علامات المنافق. And the one who keeps breaking his promises, he has a khasla, he has one of the qualities of munafiqeen, the people of hypocrisy. وهذا يسمى نفاق عملي. It is a practical nifaq. It's not the major nifaq. It's a minor nifaq, but it is a major sin when someone promises his breaks his promise on purpose. So يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في حديث مشهور المسلمون على شروطهم إلا شرطا أحل أو حرم حلالا أو أحل حراما. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said Muslims are bound by their stipulations, especially if you put a stipulation, a shart, a condition in your business, in your transaction, in your sale. And then later on, you want to get rid of it or break it. And you cannot, if it is halal, if it does not make forbidden what was permissible. And it does not make, permissible what was forbidden. إِلَّا شَرْطًا حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا أَوْ أَحَلَّ حَرَامًا. Okay? المسلمون على شروطهم. That means they are bound with their stipulation. They have to act upon their stipulation. The other thing that the ulama have mentioned is the fair treatment of workers. And Islam promotes and encourages the spirit of love and kindness and cooperation between the employer and employees. So fair wages, good working conditions, suitable work, excellent treatment have to be provided for workers. And this is a bigger problem in many Muslim countries now. People, they don't give the right to the workers. We don't have even minimum wage in many Muslim countries. People are working hard, they're toiling like slaves in many Muslim countries. But look at the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. A very, very interesting hadith. And this is a hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi. يرويه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الله. يقول ثلاثة الله يقول ليس الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة. لما يكون حديث قدسي فهو رواية من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن رب العالمين لكن ليس قرآن. ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى will be their foe on the day of judgment. He said I will be, Allah is saying I will be foe to three persons on the last day. One of them is mentioned in the hadith. الأول قال رجل عاهد بي ثم غدر. He made a covenant in the name of Allah, and then he broke this covenant on purpose. He didn't have an excuse. In the name of Allah, رجل عاهد بي ثم غدر. والثاني رجل باع حرا فأكل ثمنه. When we had In the past, people might capture someone who is free and they sell him in the market, and they take his money and they consume his price. They used to be, sell slaves in the market. So رَجُلٌ بَاعَ حُرًّا. بَاعَ حُرًّا, he sold someone who is free and he consumed his price. الثالث رَجُلٌ استأجر أجيرًا. And this is that many people need to know about it, especially those who have businesses, large big businesses, and they hire people to work for them. رَجُلٌ استأجر أجيرًا فاستوفى ثمنه ولم يوفه أجره. هذا يكون خصمه الله يوم القيامة. So the third one, he said, one of them being one who when he employs another person who has accomplished his duty, the other person has accomplished his duty, he finished his work, you hired him for some work, he finished everything for you, and then he doesn't give him his payment, then Allah will be his enemy on the Day of Judgment. And this hadith is in Sahih Al-Bukhari. And time to time we get complaints from our brothers working, who have worked with other Muslim brothers, and they pay them their salaries, then give them their wages. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Number six, the ulama said, staying away from making oaths when buying and selling. كَثْرَةُ الْحَلْفِ أَثْنَاءَ الْبَيْعِ وَالشِّرَاءِ. استعمال الأيمان, سواء الأيمان الصادقة أو الأيمان الفاجرة الكاذبة. So swearing, many, you know, traders often make oaths and swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to promote the good quality of their, or emphasize actually, to emphasize the good quality of their merchandise or their items of sale. So they use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to promote their merchandise. They try to push the buyers to buy their products by using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the conclusion about this habit? Is that if the seller is making an oath, is lying in his oath, then he would be committing a major sin. If he lies in his oath, he would commit a major sin. There is no doubt about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Al-halfu aw al-halifu manfaqatun lis-sil'ati mamhaqatun lil-baraka." This hadith rawah al-Imam Bukhari wa Muslim an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Al-halifu manfaqatun lis-sil'ati mamhaqatun lil-baraka. He said, swearing may persuade the customer to buy the goods, but the deal will be deprived of Allah's blessings. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. So, wallahi, I bought this. I got this meat like just 2 days ago. It's fresh. And he got it like 1 week ago. Or wallahi, I bought this car for 2,000 and he just bought it for 1,500. Using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَمِين كَاذِبَ لِتَنْفِيقِ السِّلْعَ وَلَا نَقُلْ إِنْفَاقَهَا. نعم.
Permissible, but it's makruh. Is that
what
the implication of swearing in the name of Allah when selling stuff? Because sometimes the opposite party might force you to say, okay,
say, no, you are not forced. You, no one can force you to use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is either haram if someone lies. He's lying. He's claiming a quality in the merchandise that does not exist. He's not saying the truth. Then this is yameen kathiba. You know, this is a greater sin, a major sin. Now, if he's saying the truth and using, making oaths and swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's not lying, he's saying the truth, then it is makruh. It is not permissible. There's a difference between permissible, mubah, and makruh. Makruh, it is disliked. And the ulama, they said here, it is very disliked. Ma'natha karahatun shadida. That means the person does not have respect for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is another hadith, rawah al-Imam al-Tabarani, the ulama, they said it is sahih. And he said in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there are three people, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And he mentioned three people. I don't want to mention the other two. But the third one, he said, وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ سِلْعَتَهُ لَا يَبِيعُ إِلَّا بِيَمِينِهِ وَلَا يَشْتَرِي إِلَّا بِيَمِينِهِ. So he made the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his item of sale. It's like he's making using Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an item of sale. He never buys except with making an oath. And he never sells anything except with making an oath. So he is always making oaths, you know, and using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that he has no respect for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is makruh, it is disliked, even if the person is saying the truth. And this is the second ruling regarding this, this mas'ala. And there is another hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim. Another hadith where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. There are three whom Allah will not speak. Allah will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment, nor will He look at them, nor will He sanctify them. And theirs is a severe punishment. And then he repeated Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم this statement, now talking about the one who is lying in his oath. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated this statement three times. This is in Sahih Muslim, ya ikhwan, we need to pay attention to this. Three times he repeated this statement. Abu Dharr was present, was in front of him. He said, خَابُوا وَخَسِرُوا مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When he saw Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم repeating this statement three times, that Allah will not speak to them, and Allah will not look at them, and Allah will not sanctify them, and theirs is a severe punishment. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah, repeating this statement three times. So Abu Dharr was sitting there in front of him. He said, خَابُوا وَخَسِرُوا مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. This is Sahih Muslim. Okay? So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Al-Musbil. Al-Musbil is the one who let his lower garment, or izar, lower garment, hang below his ankles. This is a mas'ala, controversial mas'ala. There are some scholars like Imam al-Shafi'i who said it's only makruh, and if it is connected with riya' khuyala, then it is a major sin. And the hadith here means the one who has kibr, arrogance. He does it with arrogance, you know? But Rasulullah ﷺ did not put any restriction. He said al-musbil. The restriction came from another hadith where he told Abu Bakr that you don't do it with arrogance. But this is a controversial matter, but I would say that a Muslim is better to be safe than to be sorry. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is repeating, as I said, this statement here in this hadith in Sahih Muslim three times. So he said al-musbil. Al-thani al-mannan. Who is al-mannan? The one who keeps reminding people about his favors. Yamun ala nas. Well, I'm the one who gave you this car. I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who found a job for you. I'm the one, you dare talk to me like this. If it was not for my services or my favors, you wouldn't have reached this status or so on. So he's mutakabbir. He helps people, but he keeps on reminding them about his favors. So he's al-mannan. So he's one of these three people. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made this statement about them three times. And the third one, it's related to our topic. والمنفق ليس المنفق المنفق the one who spent his المنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب المنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب the one who promotes or sells his products by means of false oaths, by making false oaths. He's lying in his oaths. So this is a hadith in Sahih Muslim, and we have to be careful about these things. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Number seven, the ulama, he said, عَدَمُ أَوْ تَحْرِيمُ الْبَيْعِ عَلَى بَيْعِ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ أَوْ شِرَاءُ عَلَى شِرَاءِ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ أَوْ حَتَّى الْخِطْبَةِ عَلَى خِطْبَةِ أَخِيكَ الْمُسْلِمِ. So do not sell upon the selling of your brother. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not sell upon the selling of each other. And in a different hadith, متفق عليه بين في البخاري ومسلم, لَا يَبِعْ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى بَيْعِ أَخِيهِ وَلَا يَخْطِبُ عَلَى خِطْبَتِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْذَنَ لَهُ. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, a man should not, you know, sell upon the selling of his brother, and he should not make a proposal upon the proposal of his brother, except that if he gives him permission. Now. That's a different issue. We'll talk about it, inshallah. We'll talk about some exceptions. Like bay' al-mazad, auction sales are an exception. You're standing up and you're adding. So what is the ruling here? So there are some exceptions. Every rule has an exception. There are many rules in fiqh, al-buyu'. So, but KGG, you don't know who is selling, who is buying anyway. It's like auction sales. But the Rasulullah ﷺ meant standing up in front of someone else, the seller, and you are negotiating the price of the car, and you're offering مثلا 2,000, and the guy comes, and he say, okay, I'll give you 2,500. Why do you think it's haram? Why do you think it's haram? No, well, let's look for other people. Why do you think it's haram?
Interfering the rights of other, because he is negotiating before him, so he has to finish his job.
It's not only interfering, it might create something else. Karahiya, adawa, enmity, hatred, grudges. This is what it is. And one of maqasid al-sharia, the objective of sharia in business transaction, is to eliminate enmity, eliminate hatred and disputes. This is one of maqasid al-sharia. Many buyur, many types of buyur are forbidden because of this reason. And here, this is one of them. That you come to a person, he's negotiating the deal, or he has made a deal actually. I mean, I just got a call from a brother 3 days or 4 days ago. He made a deal with someone, some equipment, and he said, I'll bring you the price within the money within 2 days or 3 days. And he said, done, it's a done deal. And then the guy phoned the next day and he gave him a better price. So I told him, no, you cannot do it because this is selling, the guy is selling. He doesn't know. But you know that you gave a promise to someone else, you made a deal with someone else, you know? So you shouldn't sell it to the second one. We should always seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't barter our akhirah with a few dollars, yes? So
if he's still negotiating, can you interfere?
Yeah, still negotiating, you cannot. إِلَّا أَن يَأْذَنَ لَكَ. He say, okay, I don't need it. You know, he's still in the process. You cannot.
Even you're negotiating on the price?
Yeah. If you are two people, this is the setting here. Two are two people, you are in front of the seller negotiating. And you gave him an offer. Okay? If he said, no, I'm not selling to you, and that's it, and you refrain, that's it, the brother can give another offer. That should be fine.
So is it like physically you're present there, right?
If you are physically present, yeah. Yeah. And the example that I mentioned, The person is not present, but the seller knows. He made a deal actually with, he gave a promise. He gave promise to the person, that's it, it's a done deal, he's just waiting for him. So he said, how about if he breaks his promise? What is the solution? If he breaks his promise, he doesn't come within 2 days or 3 days, he doesn't bring the price. I might lose the other client. What will happen? What is the solution here?
Wouldn't the contract be terminated because the period is over, right?
Oh man, the solution is easy. You call the other person, you tell him, God, I got another client, and he's giving me a higher price, but I want to keep my promise with you. Could you bring, please, your price today, or give me arbun, down payment, arbun. And down payment sales are halal in Islam, bay' al-arbun. You give an urbun to someone. What will happen to this urbun? This down payment. If you change your mind and you don't buy the product, you might lose it. It's halal. This is the decision of Majma' al-Fiqh al-Islami. It was only the opinion of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. The other scholars, they said it is haram by al-urbun because there is a hadith about it against it, but the hadith is weak. So Mujma' al-Fiqh al-Islami, Muslim Fiqh Council, made a decision that bay' al-urbun is halal, is not haram, is permissible. And here, if the deal is made, is the sale is completed, what will happen to the urbun, the down payment? Huh? It will be part of the
price.
Part of the price. But if you, the deal is not made, then he, the seller has the right to keep the down payment. And this is based on the decision of Majma' al-Fiqh al-Islam. Jumhur ulama, the brother is saying, is it makruh, or the person, if the person sells something upon the selling, or makes an offer upon the selling or the offer of his brother, and actually make a buying offer upon the offer of his brother, and the seller would sell the product to the second person, what will happen? Is the transaction valid in Islam, or it is valid, or it is not valid? But if it is valid, is he sinful? So what is the right opinion? Jumhur al-ulama, majority of scholars, they said the transaction is valid, but the person will be sinful. The sahha wa athima, the one who made the offer, they made the offer will be sinful. Allahu alam about the seller could be, na'am.
Does that also have an impact on if you're going to open up a business? Do you have to determine what's legal in terms of where you open competing on somebody else's?
Yeah, and if you open a business in the same plaza,
for example,
the same plaza, and it's the same business. Yeah, it is not in this hadith. It is not in this hadith, but I would say if you have a brother who is selling the same stuff in the same plaza, most likely you won't have a good relationship with him. This is for sure. I have no doubt about that. Yeah, and actually I just got a brother. He approached me a couple of days ago. He said I had an agreement with some brothers, they had an agreement to do business together. And he knows how to do some few stuff. It's a food. It's a kind of restaurant, but it's not really, I mean, fast food and something. And he said they wanted me to open the store in the same plaza where another Muslim had the same business or similar business, very close. He said, I didn't want to. I know that I'll have problems with the other people. So most likely it will lead to mushahana, to adawa, to enmity. And as I said, one of the objectives of Sharia in business transactions is to eliminate disputes and enmity.
What about for non-Muslims?
Yeah, this is a good question. Let me finish and then we'll talk about it, inshallah. So anyway, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith said, "Wala yakhtibu ala khitbati akhi." And he do not make a proposal upon the proposal of his. His brother, the brother Mathan, he went and made a proposal to such and such, and then you come and you say to the father, the wali, you know, I have a better degree. He graduated from Sayyid, but I graduated from the University of Calgary. So, and I pray five times a day in the masjid, and I have a full-time job. And so this is haram. It will lead to what? To adawa, to enmity. So, illa an ya'adhan, he said, yeah, okay, I have no desire to get married with this lady. If you want to go ahead and make your proposal. That should be fine. Or you know that he was refused. You know for sure that he was refused, then you have the right to go and make your proposal. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaq alayh. So now, when it comes to a non-Muslim, he said, are you allowed to make an offer upon the offer of a non-Muslim? Because the hadith said, akhik, which means akhik al-Muslim. And I believe personally that in general, when we do our business transactions, alhamdulillah, we are not like those who say we deal with riba, with the people who don't belong to our community. But we don't deal with riba with the people who belong to our community. We are not like that. So we don't do that. If it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, we shouldn't do it, even with a non-Muslim. Because we should have good relationship with non-Muslims too, right? Yes. Especially people who work with us, people who are our neighbors, or we have some kind of relationship with them. So we should have a good relationship with them for the sake of? da'wah, for the sake of da'wah. طيب, the exception to this is bay' al-mazad, auction sales. You go to the auction and the person is saying, oh, who gives more, 100, 200, 250, 300, and so on. Is it halal or not? Huh? But you are adding. You are making an offer upon the offers of others. Huh? Yeah, the illah is not there. Everyone will feel fine about it because it's a different setting, right? And there is a hadith about it. Hadith of Anas, that a man came asking for sadaqah. Came to Rasulullah ﷺ asking for sadaqah. And Rasulullah ﷺ didn't have anything to give him. So he said, do you have something at home? We can sell it on your behalf. And then we can help you with some business opportunity. So he said, I have a rag. Hilsun wa qadh. So he had a rag and he had a cup or a container. So he brought them to Rasulullah ﷺ. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, من يشتري هذا بدرهم, هذين بدرهم. So who can buy these two with one dirham? Actually, astaghfirullah, he didn't mention one dirham. He said, who can buy these two? He didn't say one dirham. So one man, one sahabi, he said, I'll buy them with one dirham. So Rasulullah ﷺ قال, من يزيد هذا بيع المزاد أو بيع المزايدة. Who can give more? Okay? So the other man said, I'll buy them for two dirhams. Now the setting is different. The seller himself is making it like an auction. And we do it in our fundraising dinners, right? We have gold, we have things, and who can add more? We can. This is halal, alhamdulillah. So you feel fine now about it? Because some people in our fundraising dinners, the moment they start doing this, they leave. Yet upset them, they leave. No, this is halal, it's okay. And Rasulullah ﷺ himself did it. And the guy took these two dirhams, he spent one dirham on his family. He bought with one dirham, qadum, an axe. We call it an axe, right? And then he went to the outside the city, he collected some wood. He said, Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, I don't want to see you for 2 weeks. Then he got some wood, he sold it in the market, he made some money, and he spent it on his family. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, it's better for you than coming and asking people for help. So this is a beautiful story about helping people to start their own business, small businesses, right? طيب, last time we talked about الشرط الجزائي. I just need to add something about it because I remember that I didn't mention this. الشرط الجزائي, penalty clause or penalty clauses when we put them in our agreement. When we say we have an agreement with someone to build a building for us or do something, and then he delayed, he did not achieve, the project was not achieved, was not completed on due time, on the agreed upon time. So instead of building finishing the project in 6 months, the project was completed in 1 year. And the guy was waiting, losing customers, losing business, losing money. So what will happen? Now the ulama, they said, الشرط الجزائي, the penalty clause, it is only effective if we put it in the agreement before the completion of the project. Before the project is completed. Like from day one, when we have an agreement, when we make an agreement, we write this شرط, this penalty clause, that if you don't deliver this project within 6 months, then if you are late by 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, then this is the penalty. I will deduct from your payment, such amount. And signed by two, and then you have peace of mind. What will happen with Muslims? That we make verbal contracts. We always make verbal contracts. And he's from my community, I know him. If I ask him to write a contract, he will feel bad about it. And he might feel that I don't trust him. I got a brother after the Salat, last halaqah, last Friday, saying that I got someone who was supposed to build a garage for me in 1 month. He said he will finish it in 1 month. He said he did not finish it in 1 year and a half. He said he gave me he finished the garage in 1 year and a half. He said I paid the whole cost, the cost of the material, but I did not pay his labor. Should I deduct from his labor? Based on what I said in the halaqah, شرط الجزائي, he said he thought that it is halal. I said it has to be agreed before, or before the project is completed. Even if it is not agreed upon from day one, it has to be agreed upon before the project is completed. Now what will happen after the project is completed? The guy finished the garage within 1 year and a half. Then you can deduct Sharia, but you cannot do it from one side. You have to talk to him, you have to make a deal with him. Say, look, I wasted a lot of time, I lost some business, you hurt me, and I'm going to deduct 2,000 or 3,000 from your payment. If he's fine with that, alhamdulillah. If he's not fine, because this is sulh. After you didn't do a contract, you were careless, you didn't write a contract, because you thought that he's a community member, he will help you, he will make a favor. We're always good to our community member, hoping to get a better deal, right? And then we get hurt, right? This is what happens all the time, what happens most of the time. We always go to our Muslim brothers. Sometimes we have good intention, we want to give our business to Muslims, right? And then the brother will... you'll be surprised. طيب. So now a sulh, come a sulh, reconciliation. So you try to make a sulh, a deal with him. If he doesn't accept this deal, you have the right to go to an imam or someone. It doesn't have to be an imam, someone in the community to pass a judgment, to make sulh in his way. Even you have the right to sue him. You have the right to sue him. But the problem is, if you sue him and you don't have something written, nothing written, what will happen? Do you think you'll have a strong case? It will be more complicated. So most likely you will give up and give him the whole payment. And that's, Allah wa'alam what happened to that brother. But this is part of our problems in the community when we deal with each other. We don't want to write. Even duyun, loans, giving loans to brothers. It's okay if you ask him to write. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, that you have, if you give a loan to someone, write it down. It's okay. And even if you have shuhud, that's fine. That's fine. Actually, some people, they ask for the person who gives them a loan to write it down and bring some shuhud, witnesses. There are some people who ask for it, alhamdulillah, in our community. But there are few. So we need to make it like, and make it a practice. We have to acting upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, we talked about now penalty clause, شرط الجزائي, sale with down payments and auction sales. Do you have any question? Before, no.
You mentioned in the issue of al-bay'a ala bay'a akhi, you said the transaction is still valid, but the one who made the second offer is the one that...
Sinful, yeah.
What if it was the case, like the case you explained of, so the one who made the second offer doesn't even know that there was a first deal or a first offer, and the guy still sells it. So is the one who made that second offer still sinful?
No, if he doesn't know, he's not. Yeah, it's obvious in Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to account for something you don't know about. I mean, khata, this is a mistake. But it is the responsibility of the seller to tell you. Because he made a promise, he made a deal with the first person.
Well, not for the seller.
And the guy will say, I'll sell it for less. Yeah. Same rule.
So let's say that there is this project, and they say it will finish in 1 year or 2 years. And let's say it finishes in 3 years due to the weather conditions or...
This is a good question. If the guy could not finish the project in the agreed upon method period, within the agreed upon period. They agreed on 6 months, he finished it in 1 year, but because of the weather conditions or something that is not under his control, then the other party does not have the right to ask him for penalty, to apply any penalty on him. He doesn't have the right, because he's not out of negligence. And if you claim now that there was negligence and he said there was no negligence, it's something that was out of my control, then it becomes a dispute. And one of you has the right to sue the other party and go to the court.
Sheikh, you said that you should not open the same type of business in the same plaza or mall.
What I said most likely you won't have a good relationship with the other brother.
But by virtue of that, then the gold souk, the garment market, the spice market, you know, where everybody goes and sells the same kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You're right. It depends on the setting. Like when we talked about Bay' al-Muzayada, we are offering, okay, different price upon the offer of someone else, right? And it is halal in the setting of Muzayada. If the government said, this marketplace here is for the people who sell jewelry, and everyone is selling jewelry now, then there is no problem. But I know some cases in this country where you know for a fact that if you open your business in the same plaza, okay, because we have it's called, there is a term for the community when you have a certain type of clientele, certain type of customers. You know your customers. Mathalan, your customers are Muslims. You have a business where non-Muslims would not come to you and buy your products. So you have a limited number of people in the city who would come to you and buy from you in this plaza here in Calgary. And someone else would come and open the same place, most likely you won't have a good relationship. You know what I mean? There is no doubt about it. But if it's a different setting, like as I said, Bay' al-Muzayada, the government actually made this rule. And I know what you are talking about in Saudi Arabia, in many Muslim countries actually. You go to some places, you find this is the market, and it's the market of people who sell jewelry, this is the market of people who sell shoes, people who, you know, there is nothing wrong with that. Because most likely people will not feel bad about their, you know, they feel that they are competitors, they are competing with them. But it is a rule. It's the government who allowed them to, you know, to be in that place. But a different setting, the story could be different. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But I'm not saying it's haram. You know what I mean? I said most likely you won't have a good relationship with the other person. But I didn't say it's haram. Because it's very difficult to say haram for something that we don't have a dalil for. Yes. نعم. بيع التقسيط حلال. يعني deferred payments, sale with deferred payments is حلال. Even if with higher price, it's حلال. Yeah, this is something that we will talk about inshallah in the future. But it is حلال with a higher price. يعني I'll sell this car for you, Hamza or Ayub. I'll sell this car for you for Ayub 10,000 if you pay me cash. But if you pay me within 2 years, then I'll give it to you for 12,000. This is riba or halal? This is fine. But you have to agree. When you do the deal, you have to agree on one of the prices. Okay? If you say, مثلاً Ayub, either I sell it to you for 10,000 cash, or 12,000 with a deferred payment, like within 2 years, you can pay me within 2 years. And then we don't agree, I say who will say, okay, agreed. But we don't agree on one of the terms. We just leave it open. This is one of the explanations of bay'atayn fi bay'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden two sales or two conditions in one sale, or two sales in one transaction. So the ulama, one of the explanations of this hadith, this one. This is one of the forms of making two sales in one transaction. So it's only one transaction, it's only one car, gonna receive only one price from him, but we didn't agree. So we left it open. After مثلا, 2 months, wallahi, 1 month, he will come back and say, okay, here you go, 10,000. I say, okay, I thought you're gonna give me 12,000, you're gonna pay me within two years. No, I said, no, I didn't agree about that. And then there might be what? Dispute. Then one of the maqasid al-sharia is to eliminate dispute. So we have to have clear terms in our contracts. And this is something that we'll talk about it when we talk about some other types of contracts in the future, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.